And we've talked about Paul in his service as a Christian. His personality never really changed. Everything he did when he was Saul the Pharisee, he did everything with zeal. When he became a Christian, he had zeal, but in a different way. It was for Christ. Instead of actively working against Christianity as a Jew, he put that same zeal into serving God and spreading Christ. Not that I'm in any way in comparison to Paul, but our personalities in a lot of ways don't change. When we become Christian, our activities may change. The things that we do, maybe outlooks, views do change. As we mature in Christ, we may not still do the same things that we did. In high school, all I wanted to do was play. And I don't mean play around. Play football. And I made sure I knew running back, fullback, receiver. I even knew the blocking positions in case they needed a lineman. Never put me in as a lineman, but just to make sure I knew him, it helped me as a running back. I just wanted to play. And I guess the attitude has not changed. I want to serve God. Dick called. He's stuck on the freeway. I don't know if it had to do with Obama being out in North Las Vegas at Cheyenne High School. And we got the message he couldn't. He was supposed to speak tonight. Coach, put me in. I want to play. I want to serve God. You're going to hear a lesson that I was working on, not polished yet, but working on. Who knows, you may hear it again down the road on a Sunday morning, maybe not, but we're talking about the kingdom tonight. Jesus did not just show up. Here I am. I've got a new idea. I'm going to start a church. This was in the works from the beginning. You would have thought, Hugh, that after Tanya's phone went off. That is one of my biggest fears, is that I'll be up here and I will have forgot to turn my phone off. I'm so thankful it happens to other people instead of me. The kingdom was in God's plan. I touched on it this morning, for those of you that weren't here, that God gave us the kingdom, gave us each other. He knew that we weren't designed to go through life alone and to go through serving Him alone. In Isaiah, the second chapter, in verse 3, we see that this word of the Lord is going to go out from Jerusalem, prophesying the coming of the kingdom. In Isaiah 2, verse 3, it says, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. A few chapters over, or a few books over in Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, we're going to see when this word of the Lord is going to go out and when this kingdom is going to be established. Daniel is explaining the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar. And he had that skill and was brought before the king, and he's going to interpret the dreams. And Daniel is talking about four kingdoms that this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had goes into these four kingdoms. And in verse 39 of Daniel chapter 2, he's explaining, and he says, "But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours." When he's saying to Nebuchadnezzar, "After you," his kingdom was that Babylonian empire. It was huge. Historians agree that there were four major empires before Jesus. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire. And here in verse 39, Daniel is explaining these four empires, three of which have not come. He says, "But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours," talking about the Persian Empire. "Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth," talking about the Greek Empire, the Greek Empire of Alexander, which would rule from modern Europe to India, from northern Europe to northern Africa. It was huge. And he says, "Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others." That fourth kingdom was the Roman Empire. It was the greatest ancient empire ever. And if you'd skip over to verse 44, it says, "And in the days of these kings," talking about the Roman Empire, "the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." In jumping ahead to the New Testament, go to Matthew 16. I had envisioned some very good PowerPoint pictures along with this. Just wasn't done yet. Maybe next time. Jesus is talking to his disciples in chapter 16. And starting in verse 13, or in chapter 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I think of what was said about Daniel, in Daniel, about how during the time of these kings of the Roman Empire, a great kingdom will be established that will dwarf and shatter and rule over all of those others. And here Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. In Mark chapter 1, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. From this time, the kingdom has been coming. The people of the Old Testament had looked forward to a Messiah, had looked forward to that leader that would start this kingdom. Their concept of the kingdom was different than Jesus' concept. It was not going to be a kingdom that would have a palace, that would have palace guards, that would have an army. It was going to be us. It was going to be Peter and James and John. They were going to start this, or to be the first people in this kingdom. Jesus was going to establish the kingdom, and it was going to start in Jerusalem. It would come with power. It would go out from Jerusalem to all the parts of the world. And it would come during the time of the Roman Empire, during these kings, as Daniel said. Skipping over a couple of chapters to Mark chapter 9. We see Jesus explaining that it's going to come with power. Talking about Jesus says, and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here that will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Many of them that he was talking to would still be alive and be present on the day of Pentecost. And if you would, turn over to Acts. Acts 1, verse 8. This is right before Jesus' ascension into heaven. And he tells his apostles, he says in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The next chapter, we see the day of Pentecost come. Jesus had been taken up into heaven. They got to witness and be part of Jesus' ministry. They got to see his teachings, his miracles, his power. They saw him die. And most of all, they got to see him resurrected. And then they got to see him ascend back into heaven. Now it's the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. And in chapter 2, it says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language." Just a little side note here. I like watch Law and Order, and the lawyers, they'll say, "Sidebar." And they'll stop and they'll discuss a little sidebar here. Religion's concept, a lot of times, of speaking in tongues is an this unutterable, just utterance of confusion, of babbling. The words here is an actual language. It's dialectos, a dialect, a language, not mumbling, not babbling, but of a language. And it says here, everyone heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7, "Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?'" And then it goes in and explains Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya and adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And it says they were amazed and perplexed. I find it interesting here. Now, I will tell you right now, I'm not a language expert. Not at all. I barely speak the King's English. I speak more Okie than I do English. But there are 15 different peoples mentioned here. 15 different cultures. And of these, this is what people smarter than me have studied. Out of those 15 different cultures of people, there were 12 different languages. There were 12 apostles there. And in God's power and God's providence, each one of them were speaking to people that understood them. Peter, in verse 14, says, "Peter, standing up with the 11, he raised his voice, and Peter will give the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost at the beginning of the kingdom, the beginning of the church. And to put it in a nutshell, Peter will preach Jesus. Peter will preach that this man Jesus, whom we've been looking for, that it's been prophesied about. And it already explained that there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men. These Jews who were here in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, they have been looking for a Savior, the Son of God. For all of their life, their father's life, their grandfather's life, going back as far as they remember. They have been looking for a Messiah that would take away their sins. And Peter goes on to say, this Messiah was Jesus, whom you killed 50 days ago at Passover. Verse 36 of chapter 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Repent. Sin is sin. But I didn't kill the Son of God. They were personally responsible for the death of the Son of God. And they were heartbroken. Peter's message got through. And Peter, when they said, what shall we do? Peter says, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you. The promise that has been from the beginning, that this kingdom, Christ will come to forgive you of sins. And he shall rule that kingdom. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And you, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, us, as many as the Lord will, our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them all as anyone had need. So continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And we see in chapter 8, because of the persecution, they were scattered. Just like the prophecies, that it will start in Jerusalem, spread to Judea, and to all parts of the world. And within a few short years, thanks to the efforts of these people, thanks to the efforts of the apostles, thanks to the efforts of Paul, the gospel will be preached to every nation and has been kept being preached until us. Somebody preached the gospel to you, and it has been, this message has been going on. Jesus himself said the gates of Hades will not prevail against him. The kingdom that he established is going to win. We see in Revelation a sneak peek, spoiler alert. You hate those people that tell you how the movie's going to end. I'm going to tell you how it ends. The good guys win. The good guys win. On the day of judgment, we win. The only thing that's left up to us is to make sure we remain on the good guy's side. Two questions we have to ask ourselves. Are we in Christ, and will we be found in him on that day? I am so encouraged the fact that God had us in his plans from the beginning. From the beginning. When Jesus said there in Mark, the time is at hand. It's fulfilled. All of the things that were building up to the kingdom, it came about. Where it was prophesied about, when it was prophesied about, and how it was prophesied. It started in Jerusalem during the time of that fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire. During these kings, as Daniel said, and it would come with power. You read Acts 2, it came with power. And it will go out and spread throughout the whole world. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, this Lord, this man that was to become Lord and Christ, that the Jews during Passover, during the first century, they killed him, that Jesus. Peter told them, this man you killed, and they cried out, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. Peter told them the same message we're preaching today. Repent and be baptized. And the Lord will add you to his church. You don't join the church. You don't join the Lord's church. You're added. When you obey and are baptized and have done the things that God wants, he adds you. If you're not baptized, I urge you to do it tonight. If you are baptized, if you are a Christian, and you have sin in your life, I'm going to tell you the same message. I'm not inventing any new sermon here. I'm going to say the same thing Peter said. Repent. Repent of your sins. If you need prayers of the congregation, anything we can do for you, whatever your need is, please come forward while we stand and sing the invitation that Don leads us in.